inspire, educate, connect. This is Yoga Digest, a vibrant community of passionate changemakers.
Hello, I'm Lacey Pruitt, author, yoga teacher, and Yoga Digest featured contributor. Thank you for listening to the Yoga Digest Now podcast. Hi everyone, Lacey Pruitt here for Yoga Digest, and today I am talking with Shannon Roach from Yoga Alliance. Now Shannon, it's good to have you on the podcast today, and I want to share a little bit more with the listeners about what Yoga Alliance is and what y'all are all about, and maybe some plans that you have for the new year. So if it's okay with you, we'll just get started.
That would be wonderful. And thank you so much for inviting us and for having me. I really appreciate it.
You bet. So just to start off for the listeners, how did Yoga Alliance come about to be this governing body over yoga teachers and trainings?
Sure. Well, I'll try to do this as quickly as I can because the easy answer to your question is that we're coming up on our 20th anniversary. But I promise I won't give you the whole 20 years of history.
Congratulations. That's wonderful.
Thank you. We're excited. And actually we've got a whole number of things planned, so we're really looking forward to it. But the much shorter version is that about 20 years ago, there was, as you can imagine, a really notable and rapid increase in the demand for yoga teachers. As yoga was becoming more well known in the U.S. and more mainstream audiences, and was beginning to reach into spaces like gyms and YMCAs and that kind of those for yoga non-traditional spaces. And at that time, there were a handful of very senior, very experienced yoga teachers who were sort of watching this develop and wanted to make sure that you know, sort of rapid growth and proliferation mm-hmm. did not result in a situation where we met the demand, but met it with, you know, sort of people who hadn't been trained to the same level and standards that they had. And so the original idea was that this group came together to set a set of voluntary minimum standards for teacher training programs. And that really was the genesis of Yoga Alliance and has really been the three things I just said, voluntary, minimum, and standards, mm-hmm. Have really been the kind of driving details of how we have served the community and how we've grown over the years.
Well, and Shannon, as a yoga teacher myself, I really appreciate keeping the standards high, and I feel like my opinion is that's what y'all have done. Tell me a little bit about the biggest challenge that you see in the industry.
That's a great question. You know, there are a few things. I think one of the challenges that we see and that we see the impacts of and that we talk about all the time as a team is that, again, you know, sort of focusing on the U.S. for this answer, yoga is often thought of as synonymously with asana. And you know, there's a lot to be said, I think, in support of sort of asana practice and asana focused practice. But I think you, Lacey, as a teacher probably know, right, there's a lot more to it as well.
Yes.
And so, you know, we really want to make sure that anyone who wants to practice yoga has access to practice it in the way that they want to do so. Right. Mm-hmm. And for some folks, that might mean a primarily asana practice. And for other folks, that might mean that it's been a while since they practiced in that way, and there are lots of other ways to approach the practice and the tradition.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So one of your goals is probably to educate just the general public, to be honest, a little bit more about the, you know, the possibilities surrounding yoga and maybe some clarification about what truly is, you know, possible with the yoga practice.
I think that's exactly right. And also in some ways to sort of demystify it, right? Mm-hmm. I think wrapped up in that idea that there is a sort of mystery around it, or mm-hmm. that, you know, that not everybody is sort of fully aware or has full access to the breadth of the practice. Mm-hmm. Implied in all of that is the assumption that I hear all the time from people, you know, starting with my mother, that quote unquote, yoga is not for me.
Yeah.
And so we really want to make sure that we're doing everything we can in support of teachers and schools to help everyone who mm-hmm. wants to have access to the practice in one way or another know that that is there for them and that it is in fact for them. And with it, you know, the various ways in which that can be.
Wonderful. Well, I'm curious how y'all plan to grow with the continued growth of, I should say, popularity of becoming yoga teachers. Where do you see yourself in the next few years, and how do you plan to maintain that pace of growth that's out there?
I love that. I love the thought of that. A couple of thoughts come to mind. One, well, actually, I think we just touched on both of them. Mm-hmm. And I think that the two most important pieces for us to keep in mind, as far as we can see right now, if and when yoga continues to grow and spread, is one, making sure that it does so in a way that is accessible to all kinds of people who want to practice in the ways that are most appropriate for them and their bodies and their needs. Mm-hmm. And the second is this idea of maintaining those high quality standards, right? Mm-hmm. So we've just a couple of months ago announced an up-leveling of our original standards. And we are working really hard right now to get ready to put that into practice. Mm-hmm. All of those changes and attempts to up-level, not all of them, they begin to, some of them begin to go into effect starting in February of next year. Mm-hmm. And then the changes that we've announced to date are sequenced out over a fairly long period of time over the next several years. So hopefully we don't completely upend any one person or one school's, personal business. Mm-hmm. But that we do manage to continue to maintain and improve on those standards that, that we were originally founded to put in place.
Well, as a member, I know I'm familiar with the community that y'all have built, the true alliance that y'all have built around yoga teachers, yoga studios. But for the listeners who don't know or they're not aware of what Yoga Alliance really does, can you give me the brief version of everything that you offer members?
My pleasure. I'd love to. We are known, as you probably could guess from kind of where I focus, we've historically been known primarily for those credentials that we offer. The credentials are what comes out of those standards that we set. That is actually one piece of the work that we do, and sort of three other legs of the stool, if you will, that we really focus on. One is member and public education. The second is member benefits in other ways, and there's lots that we have there, and there's lots that we're building as well. And then the third is really government relations and advocacy. So another piece of work that we sometimes are known for and continue to work really hard on is making sure that we're in communication with both state governments and the federal government, again in the U.S., but sort of thinking about how we can expand that if it's appropriate. Mm-hmm. To make sure that governments aren't stepping into roles that don't need stepping into, right? I think we would argue that this community does a really good job of managing itself and of making sure that what it is offering to students is safe and of high quality and accessible and equitable. Mm-hmm. And we're continuing to work really hard to make sure that that just continues to be the case and to get better. Mm-hmm. And so part of that work is helping government regulators understand that we do that and that, hopefully they can focus their efforts elsewhere.
Well, now, are there other types of organizations that are doing the same thing, or is Yoga Alliance the maverick?
I love that description. There are other standard setting bodies, largely in other countries.
Okay.
In some cases, we have relationships with them. In others, we really don't. Mm-hmm. And where we don't have relationships, it is more because we just really haven't reached out to forge those, primarily because it seems like they've sort of taken a look at the work that we're doing and tried to build off of it. And mm-hmm. I don't feel like there's a whole lot that we have to offer there that we haven't, and not necessarily a whole lot that we have to add.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But there are a couple of instances where there are other standard setting bodies. And of course, when I say a couple of instances, I'm sort of setting aside the entirety of the government of India. There's a very strong tradition and structure there, as you can imagine, that really merits a whole separate conversation.
Yeah, I understand. So in the past, there's been some who may, you know, kind of rebel or question this type of organization. Is it needed? Is it necessary? Can you tell us more about that?
Sure. Yeah, and this is one of the things I really love about working with this community. It is one that doesn't sort of take the rules for granted and constantly, I think, looks to make sure that we're making the right sets of choices, which I really respect and have a lot of admiration for. You know, I started by saying that we are a voluntary organization. I think that that's a really important piece of how we think of ourselves and how we're structured. Mm-hmm. And because we're voluntary and we're not trying to sort of force ourselves onto the industry, the community, any one individual teacher or school, you know, I would argue that there is value and benefit to having an organization that can represent the community in a broad way, as a communal group in places where it's really hard to do that as one or two people. You know, that advocacy piece of things, the government relations piece of things, is, I think, a great example of that. That for me is why I do think there is value and importance in the organization. I'm never going to, you know, dispute someone's perspective that they think it would be better off. You know, they or the community would be better served if that were not true. Mm-hmm. You know, what I would say to that is that it is voluntary, and even with that, we have over 100,000 members in over 100 countries, and so I think the community seems to see value in it, and we work really hard to provide that value, and so I hope that we're living up to that.
Wonderful, absolutely. I'd like to know your thoughts on the benefits for teaching organizations and for, separately, the benefits for teachers to be a part of Yoga Alliance.
Sure. Well, I think, gosh,
maybe your top three benefits.
Well, I think the answer to that question really depends on kind of where you are in your teaching career. I think for newer teachers, I hope for newer teachers, some of the values are just in helping people kind of navigate this new community that they've been a part of and kind of understand what the opportunities and resources are. For teachers and schools who've been serving for a longer time, you know, I really hope that they are able to benefit from some of the member benefits and work that we've described, but also that, you know, that we are able to support them in their continued growth over time. Mm-hmm. And you had asked earlier what we're looking forward to in 2020. You know, I think that's a place where I'm really looking forward to seeing us work harder and grow more, mm-hmm. is really thinking about how we can better support longer serving teachers and really have as a center of our work the idea that all of the yoga teachers I've ever known kind of know inherently, which is that this is a lifetime, you know, this sort of vocation. And that the learning within it continues over the course of an entire lifetime. It doesn't stop on, you know, the day your teacher training program ends. We really want to move into that space and help people as they move into that space as well.
Mm-hmm. Continued growth, definitely. I'm curious what your thoughts are. You know, many teachers I know, they financially struggle to make a living just teaching yoga, but the teacher trainings have really remain pretty costly. Will Yoga Alliance try to maybe provide some continuing education or continuing training in the future?
A couple of thoughts. We try not to sort of be the education provider, the primary education provider for folks. Certainly we curate and collate existing content that we think is strong. And there are times when we, you know, pull together the teachers that we're fortunate enough to work with and ask them to offer what they have to the community. But primarily what we're looking to do is really support the teachers and schools who are out there who are already providing continuing education. So specifically, I don't see us putting a high premium on our providing continuing education. Having said that, I do think that there's a lot we can be doing to support teachers and schools as they're kind of navigating the space of how much of an investment wanting to be able to serve in this way sometimes requires. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I think about all the time, people may have heard me say this before, in fact, is my father-in-law once, a very, very long time ago, was an entrepreneur, and he was focused in software in kind of the early days. And to this day, decades later, around a dinner table, he always says to all of us, you know, if you want to be a computer programmer, which is what he was, program computers. Mm-hmm. If you want to be an entrepreneur, you know, think about kind of the legal implications of what the work you're doing is, and also pick up the phone and call an insurance broker for your HR benefits. Mm-hmm. And that's such a good analogy for me, because I know so many yoga teachers who got into this work to teach yoga. Mm-hmm. Right? They didn't get into it to think about healthcare benefits for their employees.
Right.
And so, you know, I think there is a lot that we can do, and we're working on building toolkits now. There's a lot that we can do to kind of take some of that administrivia, you know, administrative work off of people's plates, or at least give them resources for it and point them in directions to it, mm-hmm. so that they don't have to spend their time doing that and they can spend their time teaching yoga.
Yeah, and I agree with that. The community for me has been more of that resource. If I'm looking for something to extend my own education, Yoga Alliance has provided this resource for me to see what else is out there, where is it happening, who's doing it, and then from there I can just continue, like take the lead on my own continuing training. So that's beneficial.
Wonderful.
Well, I'm just curious, Shannon, what do you enjoy most about the work you do?
Oh my goodness, there's so many things. It won't take your whole day. I just feel really lucky to be able to work all day, every day, both with and in support of people who show up every day in their own jobs and worlds and lives to serve, and for whom lifelong learning is a real commitment and a real way of living. I mean, I just don't know that there are many communities or places where you can say that, and it is just a joy.
That is wonderful. Well, you touched on this a little bit earlier, but is there anything special that you're looking forward to mostly in 2020?
Mm-hmm. Well, you will be hearing a little bit more from us in the not too distant future about our 20th anniversary. So we're looking forward to that. We're really hoping to use that as an opportunity to celebrate yoga and to celebrate teachers and schools and the broader community, and hopefully introduce even more people to how they can access this set of resources and set of practices to improve their well-being. We are starting to build out those kinds of toolkits and resource centers, so you'll definitely see some of that information come from us in 2020. And of course, there's the implementation, the beginning of the implementation of all the work we did to up-level our standards, including, and I think this is going to be really interesting and exciting, including the ethical commitment that we've put into our scope of practice and code of conduct and sort of into the standards for the first time. That includes the idea that teachers who hold our credential and schools who hold our credential are committing to the idea of equity in yoga. So you'll be hearing a lot more from us on all of those kinds of topics and the related topics too. So I'm so excited about all that work.
Well, I share your excitement for 2020. Thank you so much, Shannon, for being with us today. I appreciate all the information you've shared. Is there anything else on your heart before we close?
Well, Lacey, just a quick note to say thank you, not only to you, which I'm so grateful for, but also to the, 100,000 member teachers and schools. And we're so lucky to be able to work with this community and so lucky to be able to be part of their service. So thank you.
Absolutely, Shannon. Thank you for your work.